chapter 16 continues God's judgment on the wicked. Amen. And it describes what we call the bowl, B-O-W-L, judgments. And so what are the bowl judgments? Let me back up a little. And during the second half of the tribulation, God is going to judge the wicked. And if you remember, we studied the seven seals. Then yes. We studied, and then the seven seals, the seventh of the seven seals introduced the trumpets, the seven trumpets. Amen. And then the seventh trumpet, amen, introduced the bowl judgments. Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you okay, so we have the seven seals and we have the seven trumpets, and then the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpet gives you the bowl judgments, B-O-W-L, or the three woes. Some of you know them as the woes, W-O-E-S. So we're going to discuss the seventh woe. Amen. The seventh, the third woe, which is the seventh trumpet. I'm trying to get this in order. So trying to give you some perspective. I don't know if it's a little confusing or not. Amen. Amen. So the seventh trumpet introduces us to the third woe. Okay. Okay, so this third woe signals the consummation of God's plan for the entire world. Amen. It marks the finishing of God's judgment. The finishing of God's judgments. We spoke about the different judgments that were coming forth. This is the end of it. This is the last one. And this last one carries through to chapter 19. You know, it continues. This is introducing it, but it's not, like I said before, it's not done yet. Okay? It's not fun. Just because it introduces it, it doesn't mean, okay, now we're finished and God's kingdom is here. It will come. Amen. But it's just an explanation of what's going to occur during this third woe. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the third woe has seven bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Seven. Mm-hmm. Seven seals, seven trumpets. Amen? And the third woe is seven bowls of judgment. Mm-hmm. Do we get this?
Yes.
It's a little confusing. You got, hopefully you have seven seals, seven trumpets, and then the seven trumpets will give you the seven bowls of judgment. And so that's what we're going to discuss. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, these seven bowls are going to be the horror. The horror, amen, the greatest horror that those that are still on the earth will experience. Again, tribulation. We who are born again will not be here, right?
Right.
We believe in pre-tribulation rapture. So we're going to go up, and then the 7 years are going to begin. And now this is the last part of the 7 years, okay? So this is going to be a time of great affliction, great anguish for those, for whom? For those who have pledged their allegiance to whom?
To the peace.
To the Antichrist. Yes, mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Remember that There are going to be those on earth who have not pledged their allegiance. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be hunted down. Hunted down.
Yeah. And the saints
they're going
and
to
be the killed. Prophet.
And they're going to be
yep.
killed, you know. Okay. Many are going to be killed, and many will survive by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. All right. So, the wrath of God, there's two purposes in the wrath of God. He's going to chasten those who have not accepted him, those who are wicked, those who don't want anything to do with God, those who have pledged their allegiance to the Antichrist. So it's punishment, but at the same time, it's chastening, trying to bring people to repent. Even to the last moment, God is willing for people to repent.
Amen. Yes,
amen.
He is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's go with verse 1. I'll take anyone to read verse 1.
Amen. Amen. I'll read, Pastor. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Yes, read verse 2. And
the first bowl. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image.
Have you ever had a boil? Have you ever had
yes.
a sore like that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This is going to be worse. This is going to be worse than what we have experienced. Mm. Amen.
Yes. So, foul and loathsome.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Foul. Good point. Foul and loathsome. Loathsome. And it says upon whom? Upon those who worship the beast. And
his image.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that should show you we're in an age, right? We're in an age that we can see everything. The whole world can see everything that's going on, right?
Yes.
Right? We can see. Technology has enabled us to see all this. So even those that worship his image via telecommunications or something, televised. They don't have to be. They don't have to be living in the realm, in the capital where the beast is. They can be at the other end of the world and worship his image. And
yes.
they will suffer from these painful sores. Amen. Hallelujah. But those that are there following God will be immune. The sores won't fall upon them. Amen.
Amen. Glory.
Merciful God. God is always willing for us to repent. Amen.
Yes.
So
amen.
This is going to be the type of sores that are going to be all over their bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like they take the mark of the beast, whatever that is, well, now they're going to, in their body, reveal the wrath of God. For them taking the mark of the beast. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. They have blasphemed God. They have practiced idolatry. Idolatry by worshiping the beast, right?
Yes.
God said, you will have no other gods but me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So, this, in the Greek, the term for sores. It refers to like an ulcer or an abscess. I'm not in the medical field, but has anyone ever seen an ulcer or a sore that
yes.
has been ulcerated?
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
That's what it's going to, you know, look like. This is not going to be a minor rash or one boil. sore. Well, that's why, you know, we got to keep on telling people. You don't want to go through that, right?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, seriously, when this is going to sound funny, but don't you find those things disgusting? Ulcerated and
open sores.
Could
you imagine looking at people and they're all full of that? It kind of reminds me, you know what it reminds me of? Job.
I was going to say that. Reminds me of Job.
Remember the battle between God said, look at my servant Job?
Yes.
There's an upright man. You can touch him, but don't take his life, in other words.
Right.
And he was so full of ulcerated sores that he wanted to die.
Yes.
They're not going to be able to die from these sores because this is the punishment of God. Amen. So, someone read verse 3, please.
Okay, I'll read. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died.
Whoa.
Wow. Reminds you of the judgment of Pharaoh, right?
Yes.
Turned to blood.
Yep.
And, but this is going to be on a massive scale.
Yeah.
The Nile was turned to blood, but this is going to be on a massive scale, amen? Because it's going to touch the whole world.
Yes.
Amen. And can you imagine why the sea has to be putrefied for it to kill all the creatures in it, amen?
Yep. And the smell.
Like the blood of a corpse.
Mm. Wow. And all the food and sustenance in it.
Yeah, and decomposing material.
Yeah.
Right? It becomes a putrefying mass. Everything is decomposing on it. Amen? In it. Amen?
Amen.
So, the waters, amen? The waters. It says out on his bowl on the sea.
On the seas.
The oceans. Could you imagine worldwide pollution?
And famine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fish.
That's right, Mark. That's right. Mm. These, there are going to be geological effects because of this, because it's touching the whole world.
Yes.
Amen. So what Mark says is right. Amen. Famine. Okay. So the implication here is that it's going to pollute all the oceans, not just the Nile River. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Now in Revelation 8:8-9, we read about, I believe it was the
second trumpet, the sea struck.
Yeah. Yes. And at that time, before when we read about the second trumpet judgment, we read that it was a third of the sea. It said a third of the sea turned into blood and killed one third of marine life, and that's in Revelation 8:8-9. But this is not a third. This is worldwide. That's what we have to understand. These are worldwide judgments. Amen. It's going to touch everyone that has refused to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. And those that have accepted him will be spared. But they will be in the tribulation. Amen. And they will suffer persecution from the Antichrist. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the, I'm mixing up two things here. The second one is the sea, right? It says the sea. Amen?
Yes.
And the third one is, somebody read the third bowl in 4. Verse 4.
The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So here's the differentiation, because I got ahead of myself. In the other verse, spoke of the seas.
Seas.
Salt water.
Yes.
Salt water. This speaks of the fresh springs.
Yes.
Fresh waters, rivers. So
drinking.
Here's the implication that it's worldwide. It's all the waters. All the waters are going to be touched. All the waters are going to be turned into blood.
Blood.
All the waters, fresh water, salt water, will be corrupted.
Rivers, springs, yes.
Yeah. So what is that? Let's jump off where Mark had mentioned famine. So what does that tell you? If all the waters are corrupt, if all the waters
dehydration.
There's no
drinking water.
Whatever's there will eventually be gone. So people will suffer thirst, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So all the water is polluted. And once the drinking water that's available, in my opinion, is gone, they will suffer the thirst. Amen?
Thirst,
uh-huh.
And bathing waters and cooking waters.
There's
a lot of implication.
Yeah, and as you see, you saw these kind of judgments in the other, in the trumpets before and in the seals, I don't remember which, but we saw them. But this is going to be a magnification and a more intense period, a more intense suffering because of these plagues, more intense plagues. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Look, I'll bring you back to Revelation 8, 10, and 11. It says this. This is the trumpet judgment. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood. Many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. So that was back in the trumpets. Earlier, this was I'm not going to get in. So you see, at that time, it was only a third. This is the seventh trumpet, which yields the seven bowls. But this is one of the trumpet judgments prior. And it's only one third of the world that's affected.
God was given a chance. God was being merciful to the people.
Always, always. Now it's the whole world. This is it.
Now he climbs up.
This is it. This is it. Exactly, exactly. You know, here we see, here's our God. Our God, what does our God say? Vengeance is mine, right?
Yes.
So God is now avenging the wicked for the blood of the saints.
Yes.
Do you know how many during the course of history have been martyred, have been persecuted, those that follow Christ? Now God says it's time to avenge. So you don't have to say vengeance is mine. Only God can say that. So whatever you're going through, God will avenge you.
Amen.
God will do it. We just have to seek him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Then we go to let me read this one for you. Romans 12:19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. He's repaying. For he's repaying for everything that went on, all the persecutions of the Christians. So let's read the fourth bowl judgment. Verse 8.
Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him who scorched men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory.
They did not repent. Yeah.
They did not repent.
So he poured out, the fourth angel pours out his bowl over the sun, right?
Yes.
Remember that God is creator of all, right? The sun, the moon, the stars.
Amen.
And, you know, a lot of people like to give, a lot of those that do not believe in God, and a lot of scientists that do not, like to give everything a scientific explanation, right?
Yes.
Including God. But God does these things. He makes the sun. He makes it burn. Amen. He makes, you know, he brings the rain. He Amen. Put the clouds up there. He causes cosmic things to take place. Amen?
Amen.
So here, the sun, amen? The angel pours out his bowl on the sun. So whatever it is, I don't know scientifically. Whatever happens with the sun, but something happens that it becomes hotter and hotter. And look, what are the times that we're living in?
That's right.
Getting hotter.
The global
and hotter,
warming.
Right? We're experiencing hotter and hotter climates, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The sun is high now. The ozone level is gone.
Yeah. I was out for less than 50. I can't be in the sun. I burn right away. The sun, even with sunscreen, we all burning, right? It's
yes.
getting too hot. It's getting too hot. Imagine what he does. And it says with the sun that power was given to the sun to scorch men. You know, you burn your little finger, and boy, does that hurt. You're cooking and you burn yourself, and you're miserable the rest of the day. I am, you know. Could you imagine the whole body being scorched? Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I was looking this up, and it says that Death Valley, California, it's not uncommon for sunlit rocks and paved surfaces around the world to become hot enough to cause serious burns.
Yes.
You know, the rocks become hot enough. You know that when you walk on the beach, the sand
yeah.
is hot. When you
yes.
walk on the pavement is hot. Could you imagine that magnified a million times?
No. Oh, God, have mercy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
yes,
God.
Lord.
That's fine. I keep telling you, all of you, talk to your loved ones. Mm-hmm. Let them make a commitment to Christ. You know what? They say, oh, I'm not ready. I can't change. But make a heart commitment, and God will take you through the changes. Salvation
Amen.
Is a process.
Yes.
Yes, you are saved, but there is a process called sanctification, where God begins to bring to you. Nobody has to tell you. God begins to bring to you through the word and indirectly the things that you have to get rid of.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
You know? And if you're really born again, you will want to change.
Yes.
You will want to. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. It doesn't
right.
mean that we're perfect. None of us are perfect.
Right.
We all got history. And
Amen.
If you say you don't have history, then I'll call you a liar. Sorry. But we all have history. We were not born perfect. We were born in sin. That's what the word says. And we've been rebellious until God saved us. The word says all have sinned. All. A-L-L. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And so Jesus is the one that stood on the cross for me and for you. And it's done. And the pastor knows it's done. The pastor, I said, everything was done. We can't do anything to earn our salvation.
That's right.
But if you allow the Holy Spirit, He will begin to mold you, to craft you into the image of Christ, in the sense that we are submitted to Christ. He's Lord of our lives. He rules. We make no decisions apart from Christ. That's what a lot of us have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're making decisions and we don't ask God, should I do this? And you know, and I'm veering off here, but there is the permissive will of God. That's the will of God. All right, you want to do that. I still love you, but go ahead.
And see.
But if you follow my will, you won't fall in the ditch. But when we follow our own will, we fall into the ditch.
Yeah, we're stumbling and
exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. Amen. So, Amen. You know, so here it is. Men are scorched. They don't have fresh water to drink. Amen. Amen. They have boils on their skin. And now they're scorched. Boils and scorching.
And no water.
And no water. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's what's coming to those that don't accept Christ. Again, emphasize. Say what you have to say, and if they ridicule you, and then if they go, you know how they do with their hands. Like, okay, I don't want to hear it. Let them do that. Who cares?
At least you told them.
Yes.
At least you made
planted that seed.
Planted that seed.
Pray.
Amen.
You pray, God, bring somebody to water that seed, Lord.
Amen.
Because my children won't hear it from me. My grandchildren don't want to hear it. Bring someone to water that seed.
Amen.
You gotta keep planting that seed. You got to keep doing it. Keep on keeping on. That's what the word says. Keep on. Amen. And so we have the fifth bow. Amen. So somebody read
10.
It's 10.
Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds.
Amen. So,
I've been praying like,
haven't learned.
Well, they gnawed their tongue. You know when you bite your tongue,
Can
you imagine gnawing on your tongue? You know, because of darkness and pain. Darkness. It says the fifth angel poured his bowl out on the throne of the beast. Mm. So this refers the throne, wherever he is, wherever his capital is.
Right.
The throne of the beast, amen? Or maybe he's made the temple his throne. Mm. We don't know. We know he's going to stand up there.
Yeah.
But this is not the end. This is like the end of the end. Towards the, right before we go into the millennium, this is what's happening. So darkness. So darkness starts there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes out throughout to the rest of the world. So darkness—it's kind of letting, like the beast or like that area know what spiritual darkness. So it's physical darkness, but it's kind of like implying what spiritual darkness the world is in. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It begins there, but eventually it extends to his entire dominion. And what's his entire dominion? The world.
The world, yeah.
So what happens, what do you think happens if darkness is pervasive? If darkness is pervasive, what, you know, okay, so he causes darkness. Could the electrical grids all over the world go out?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember when,
The blackout.
It was dark everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And it was due, I guess, to the electrical grid, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everything went out.
Everything. Okay.
So if the world is full of darkness, right? The seas are polluted. Men are scorched. The world is darkness.
Oh.
What can grow in darkness? The electric, you know,
nothing.
Again, famine can come. Again, the electrical grids are out. You know, God uses the things to do what he wants. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was saying, they give reasons for all the plagues. If you ever seen it on YouTube, they have a reason why every plague took place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells you when the sea, when the sea was parted,
yes.
God caused an east wind to come and part the waters.
Right.
God uses what he has created to bring to forth his will and his word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So, you know, without electricity, right?
If the water was blood, that was like, what's going to churn those turbines to make
right.
the electricity?
To generate electricity.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if all the grids are down, what runs on electricity today?
Everything.
Exactly.
Everything.
So everything's down.
Everything.
So you can see the implication and the ramification of these things. It's not just this one thing. It's what implication does it have on or everything else? Amen? Amen. Computers. The world stops. That's the bottom line. The world stops.
Everything
so,
stops.
Due to the sea. I mean, the water, darkness, blood, everything's turned to blood. Scorched, people are burning up, people have
soils.
What a horrible time.
The water.
You have to tell your loved
ones.
Yes, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What's worse is you can't die, so you're going to suffer. That's the worst part.
Exactly. Exactly. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Amen.
Still they refuse to repent. They still refuse.
They refuse. That's what the word says. They blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. They did not repent of their deeds.
They're blaming it all on him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they
could you imagine fear, the fear mm-hmm. that's going to grip the world? I mean, have you experienced fear in your lifetime? Could you imagine fear multiplied a million times? The spirit of fear is going to come over the entire universe, the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hmm. Somebody read verses 12 and 13.
Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet.
And 14, Pastor.
For they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty.
Amen. So here we go. How many of us have have heard of the River Euphrates? How many of us have watched YouTube videos on the River Euphrates? Mm-hmm. Amen. And God's word says the River Euphrates will dry up. I've watched a number of videos on YouTube that says the River Euphrates is drying up.
Drying up, yes. Yeah,
it's
that's
already
right.
happening.
Yes, it's happening already.
That's
yep.
right. That's right. Do you know that our Bible, is the only religious book that has prophecies, and every prophecy that's in there, every prophecy prior to this time that had to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. And there are many others that we're waiting on. And this says that the River Euphrates will dry up. Do you know that the River Euphrates is called the Great River in the Bible 5 times? The Great River. Amen. Hallelujah. It is, let me give you some stats on this. The river flows from 1,800 miles. 1,800 miles. That's how long. And it comes from its source in the mountains of Ararat to the Persian Gulf.
Wow.
You can trace it and you can see the Middle East nations that river touches. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And so God says the river is going to dry up. Why is the river drying up? I can't hear you, Vinny.
So the kings of the east can cross on land.
Exactly. Dry land, so the kings of the east can cross. Now it says that that there are three unclean spirits, right? Coming out of the mouth of the dragon. So you know this river, there are demons that are being held at various points of this river. That's what the word says. And God is going to allow them to come forth. Because remember, God is always in control.
Yes.
What happens on this earth, God either allows it or disallows it. So these demons are going to come out. And what does it say? It says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. And frog was like a very bad derogatory term used during the Old Testament times. Dirty, unclean, you know. Coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, okay? So these unclean spirits, it says, were coming out of the satanic trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you have, let me see, you have the devil, the dragon, you have the beast, the antichrist, and the false prophet. Yes. So I don't know how to connect these, except that the river dries up, and these demonic entities come out of the mouth of the satanic trinity. Yes, Vinny.
I think, from what I'm reading, I think they were placed at different stages along this, because they're encouraging these kings, because they're getting ready for battle, and they got to bring them there. So I think they were strategically placed along.
Yes.
Encourage them to go into battle.
But it's the satanic trinity is the devil, the antichrist, and the false prophet. The antichrist is known as the beast.
The beast, yes.
Satan always tries to mimic, duplicate what God has already done. Okay? So we have the Holy Trinity. Then you have the satanic trinity, which are those three. Now, out of their mouths come these demons, these spirits, which perform signs and wonders. okay, and performing these signs and wonders which go out to these kings, right, to the kings of the earth. So what is that? That's influence, amen?
Yes.
They are influencing these kings to come up to bat, okay? That's the issue with the tribulation and these last days. There are going to be false signs and wonders. People are going to be performing miracles by the power of Satan. You have to be careful whom you follow. Do not follow signs and wonders. Don't go after every prophet and every evangelist and every supposedly spiritual person that's performing miracles.
That's right.
Don't go after them. Amen? Because Jesus said, when I come, you're going to see me. Don't go after people that say, Jesus is here, Jesus is there, so on and so forth. You have to be weary of things that are going on that seem like they're heaven sent. You have to be careful. So these, they come, and what do? They perform such signs and wonders that they influence the nation. They gather the nation to come against whom?
God.
Israel.
They're going to cross that dry Euphrates towards Israel, because that's where the battle is going to take place. Amen? Mm. Hallelujah. 15, the Lord says, somebody read verse 15.
Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Okay. So here, God is stressing to whom? To those that are remaining on the earth.
Yes, yes.
That are in the tribulation. He's saying to them, stay, you know, don't leave me. I'm coming, you know. Stay strong. Amen. He's encouraging those. He doesn't have to encourage us because we're with him in heaven. We're gone.
Amen.
We are gone. The saved are gone. Those that were in the grave, that died, saved, are with in heaven. We who are still alive at the rapture are with them in heaven. So all the saved are with the Lord, except those that are saved during the tribulation. They're not with him yet. They're not with him yet. Amen? So they're coming to battle. So let's read verse 16.
And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon.
Yeah, Armageddon. The Hebrew name for Armageddon is Mount Megiddo. And you know, Mount Megiddo is about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. God's city. God said Jerusalem is his city. You want to know what's going on in the world? Israel is God's time clock. Jerusalem is his city. Jerusalem, God chose Jerusalem as his city.
Yes, amen.
And that's where the enemy, Satan, is going to bring the kings of the east. So who's in the east? Well, look at your map. Who are the kings of the east? China is considered the east, right?
Yes.
Asia,
yes.
You have to cross the Euphrates, you have Iran, you have Iraq, you have all these that are going to come against Israel. But you know what it is? It's the Battle of Armageddon, right? And what does the word say about Armageddon? It says the nations of the world will come against Israel. So it's not only the kings of the east. The Euphrates River dried up so they to facilitate, to enable them. But it's going to be the whole world. Mm. Armageddon is that next to final battle. It's the battle before the millennium, before the thousand-year reign, is the battle of Armageddon. Amen? Amen, amen. Somebody read 17.
Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thundering and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as...
Okay, let's stop there. It is done. So what's done? Again, this is telling you this is what's going to happen, okay? It is done. The wrath of God will be complete. Mm. Amen? It'll be the final judgment before the millennium. Amen? It means there will be no more delay. There will, when this battle takes place, amen, God is going to intervene.
Amen.
God is going to save Israel. And we had studied that some time ago, the Battle of Armageddon. This is the final battle before the millennium. Amen. Why? Because God is going to wipe all those that are not going into the millennium. Sinners are not going into the millennium. The millennium is a thousand-year reign. Amen. Where Satan will be chained. And he cannot influence those living on the earth. He cannot influence to sin. So it's going to be a thousand years of peaceful, peaceful living. Amen. Mm. With God there in the midst of us. Amen. Because the Lord will be there with us. Amen. During the millennium. So this is going to be the final battle, the battle of Armageddon, when the Lord comes against all the nations of the earth that have come against his people, that have come against Israel. Amen. And, you know, today, let me just say this, on college campuses all worldwide, we have anti-Semitism, anti-Israel. But we have to understand that God chose them to bless that nation through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob is called Israel. His 12 sons are the nation of Israel. Right now, the nation of Israel has not turned to the Lord yet. Many have, but right now, it's just a Hebrew nation, believing in only the Tanakh, which is the Bible, excluding the New Testament. That's what they believe. They don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but because God made a promise to Abraham to bless them, they are going to be blessed. And
amen.
In the very end, when Jesus comes at the second coming, they're going to say, "Who are you?" And he's going to say, "And what are those bruises?" And he's going to say, "These are the bruises that I incurred at the hands of my friends." They're going to recognize that they were the reason the Messiah was crucified. And they're going to mourn. And they are going to repent. And God says that a remnant will be saved of them in the world. So, You have to look at Israel as the nation that God chose. And if you study, and I'm not going to go into, we Gentiles were grafted in. We were grafted into the vine. We became part of that nation spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
But I don't want you to confuse the church and the nation. They're two different. Is Israel the nation? And there's the church. I don't want you to confuse that. That's another theme that I don't want to get into right now. But Israel is the nation that God chose. Israel is the land that God gave them during the time of over 3,000 years ago. God gave them that land. Amen.
Amen.
And they were dispersed from that land through many reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, through many reigns. They were dispersed. And God said that in the last days, he would bring them back. And that has been happening for more than 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
God has been, so bless the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Curse the nation of Israel. God says, I will curse them that curse you, and I will bless them that bless you. Search the scriptures to understand what's going on. Anyway, I deviated. Anyway, so this is the final battle, the battle of Armageddon. Amen. And God says there will be no more delay. Amen. His wrath is going to be completed. Okay. Now, what does verse 18 say?
And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth.
Ooh.
Amen, amen. So here we have, remember, I said, God said, this is the final, okay? So that means he's coming to battle. And this takes place, okay? So, look what it says here. Now the great city was divided into three parts. Jerusalem is the great city. Amen. Divided into three parts. Amen. Did you read 18 and 19, Vinny?
I only read 18.
Oh, read 19. Read 18 and 19. I'm sorry.
Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
Mm-hmm.
19.
Amen. So a powerful earthquake. So geological changes, right?
Yes.
I mean, the city is divided into three parts. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's not for judgment. God is not judging the city of Jerusalem by dividing it in three parts.
Mm.
You can go to Zechariah 14, and you can read that later. Zechariah chapter 14, and it will mention this, what's going on. Amen? There's
Amen.
A purpose. There's a purpose. God is, but this is this massive earthquake that causes geological change. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, okay, it says Babylon, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the
wine
of the fierceness of his wrath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Babylon probably indicates the capital of the Antichrist kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. But you know, in scripture, Babylon always represents that idolatrous city.
Right.
And later on, we're going to get into that in another chapter. The city that the Bible implies, it says, was adulterous with the kings of the earth. Okay, so this is a city that rules, and it's probably, most likely, the Antichrist capital, and that's going to be brought down. These are all the changes that are taking place at this point, okay? Throughout history, Babylon has been the center of adultery, amen? So later in chapter 17 and 18, we're going to talk about Babylon, amen? So here it is, geological changes taking place. There's this massive earthquake. Verse 20 says, then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Again, geological changes. God is preparing the earth for the millennium. He's preparing the earth because he's going to fight this battle, and then he's going to sit amongst us for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Amen. It's preparing, like I said, it's preparing, it's altering the earth for the millennium. And how it's altering the earth, I don't know, other than the scripture tells us that Jerusalem will be divided in three. Amen. And then verse 21. What does 21 say?
And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great.
Okay. So I'm gonna say this, that, you know, when it says that it is done, this is where we can say it is done, you know, to understand the chronology. Okay. So what's the weight of a talent?
About 130 pounds.
How much?
Well, I have 75 pounds, the weight of a talent. Okay?
My goodness.
So whatever, it's at least 75 pounds.
Yeah?
Could you imagine a hailstone as big as a person, as big as your kid?
No. And then it means, as it goes through space from heaven, it's getting heavier because of gravitational pull.
Okay.
Well, you're talking about more than 75 pounds. That's weight.
The force of more than, yeah.
Yeah, anything that goes through air is going to get gravitated.
So I'm parallel atmospheric convulsions. Things are taking place in the atmosphere that never happened before. Amen.
These things around, yeah, yeah.
So it's going to cause unparalleled death, devastation, destruction. So this is the final judgment. This is the final judgment before the millennium. God is going to come. The battle of Armageddon. Amen. With those that are not, that have not repented, will not come into the millennium. After all of this, this is the final judgment. We're going to have 1,000 years of peace, right?
Hmm.
Why? Because Satan has been chained. But then after that, he's going to be loosed again. Because those that are born during the millennium have not been given the decision to accept or deny sin, right? They've never been subject to what it is to sin, because Satan is the originator of sin, and he has been chained. So the Bible says he will be loosed again. And he will be loosed, and people are gonna sin again. They're gonna sin. People will have the opportunity, those that are born, to accept or deny Christ. So there is one final battle coming. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the battle where the Lord is gonna do away with all of them. He's going to do away with all those that have sinned.
So, and they refuse to repent. They refuse to repent because you read at the end of all these catastrophes, mm-hmm. and man mm-hmm. blasphemes God. So he's still unrepenting.
Exactly.
So on that, I'm just a little, I'll do some research, but if they took the mark of the beast when all of these, the seven bowl judgments are being poured out, mm-hmm. right? Could they really repent? I mean, you've already taken the mark of the beast. So it's not for somebody that's taken the mark already, mm-hmm. right? It's for, I guess, anyone that hasn't, accepted Jesus yet, or Christ, and hasn't taken the mark of the beast. I would gather
there are those that are going to realize that they were told about this, and they're going to refuse to take the mark of the beast, right? But they have to repent. They have to accept Christ. They have to accept Christ. The way I understand it, those who have taken the mark are already doomed. So there are those that have not taken the mark, but they have to make a decision for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have to repent. We all have had to make a decision for Christ. Mm-hmm. So they will have to too. And then during the millennium, there will be no sinners. But after the 1,000 years, when the enemy is released, they will have the opportunity to accept Christ or sin. And then God, that will be the final battle where God will take care of all of that, you know? And then we see a number of things. We're going to see the great white throne judgment. Remember, those that have not accepted Christ are waiting to be judged. They may be dead in the grave, but their spirit, I believe, and I said we were going to teach on this, is in a holding place where the word of God says that they will be brought up from the sea, wherever they have died. Now that's the body, right? But the spirit, because we are going to be made whole, right? We're going to have the bodies.
Yes.
So I don't know, but when the word says that they were going to be brought up from the grave, from the sea, from wherever, is it some type of a body that they're going to have? Because they're going to be before the Lord in the great white throne judgment. There is a judgment coming where all sinners will be judged. Now, in that great white throne judgment, we're not going to be judged because we've already been judged. Right? We were judged and Christ paid the price.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Now, the way the Bible describes it, you know, it says the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Yes. In other words, the sheep are the born again and the goats are those that didn't accept Christ. And they will go to
one purpose. Yeah.
They will go to hell. But the Bible says that hell wasn't made for man. Hell was made for the Antichrist, for the devil, for the false prophet. And after this time when Satan is defeated, he will be thrown into the lake of fire. The other two have already been thrown into the lake of fire. Satan is the last one remaining. He will be thrown into the lake of fire. Then it's the great white throne judgment. So, and then will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, we're gonna have marriage supper of the Lamb. And anyway, let me see if I can at a later date, kind of in one sentence, instead of paragraphs, trying to get the chronology right.
Oh.
To give you the exact chronology.
Yes.
Without giving you a whole bunch of scripture, I'm going to give you the chronology of the events taking place, because I said the book of Revelation is not all necessarily in chronological order. You know, it basically it is, but then it gives you events, and it gives you a detail on the events, but then it gives you other events that should have taken place before.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that. But you're
Thank
blessed.
You.
You're blessed.
Amen.
Thank you.